and welcome everyone to today's Internet Web Seminar titled Pollution Prevention Success Story, Partnering with Promotoros. This web seminar is sponsored by the National Institutes of Environmental Health Sciences Superfund Research Program. It is the fourth in the University of Arizona Superfund Research Program 2011-2012 series that's designed to share Superfund research that aligns with scientific needs at EPA. Our presenter has already given a live seminar to Superfund and pollution prevention personnel at EPA Region 9 headquarters and is reprising her presentation today to reach an even larger audience interested in community outreach and pollution prevention issues. I'm Sarah Wilkinson, Research Translation Core Coordinator with the University of Arizona Superfund Research Program, and I will be the moderator for today's session. We'll get started in a few moments. While we're waiting for others to log on, I would like to cover a few housekeeping items. When you registered, you were directed to this seminar-specific URL, which is the front page of today's seminar. The front page of the webcast contains a short abstract of today's session. We have also included a short bio sketch of the presenter. Please note that her email address is hotlinked on that page in case you have any questions after today's presentation. For those of you joining us via the phone lines, your phones were placed on mute when you joined the call. We will have question and answer sessions, at which point you can take your phone off mute. We ask that phone participants keep the phones on mute during the question and answer session unless you are asking a question. To unmute your phone during the question and answer session, you will need to dial *7. You may also need to push your phone's mute button if you previously put yourself on mute. After you ask your question, please place your phone back on mute by pressing *6 or by using your phone's mute button. Once again, that's *6 to mute, *7 to unmute. This will greatly reduce the background noises that can disrupt the quality of the audio transmission. Also, please do not put us on hold. Many organizations have hold music or advertisements that can be very disruptive to the call. By now, those of you participating via the phone line should have the presentation open and should be on slide one. All of those participating via the Internet should have clicked on the Go To Session icon near the bottom of the page and should be on slide one of the presentation. As explained on slide two, the main page contains the slides above which you will find navigation icons. Internet participants may submit questions by using the question mark icon you see above the slide and need not wait until the Q&A period to submit a question. In fact, we encourage you to submit in advance of the Q&A session. Also, if you experience technical difficulties with the audio stream, you may use the question mark icon to alert us to the technical difficulties you are encountering. Please include a telephone number where you can be reached, and we will try to help you troubleshoot the problem. The presenter will be announcing the number of the slide to which she is moving. You may advance to the next slide using the single right arrow located above the slide or by clicking on the appropriate slide number in the left-hand frame. At the end of the presentation, we will walk you through our links page where we have assembled resources directly applicable to today's topic. Associated with the links page is an online feedback form, and we ask that you consider filling out the online feedback form. We do look at your comments as we continue to try and improve the content and delivery mechanism. This will stay with the seminar indefinitely, so you can access it after the presentation. We typically place these seminars in an archive with the soundtrack. In the near future, you will be able to access the slides and hear the presentations as they were given today. Past web seminars are available on the CLUIN website and are also accessible via iTunes by searching for Superfund Research Program, which will take you to the Hazardous Waste Cleanup Information or CLUIN archives. With that, we are ready to start the session. Once more, I would like to remind phone participants to keep your phones on mute, and again, please do not put us on hold. And now I'm happy to introduce our presenter, Denise Moreno-Ramirez. Ms. Moreno-Ramirez is the Community Engagement Coordinator for the University of Arizona Superfund Research Program and the Dean Carter Binational Center for Environmental Health Sciences. She is primarily focused on developing community outreach projects and research translation products for diverse stakeholders in Arizona, Mexico, and the U.S.-Mexico border region. She has experience collaborating directly with economically disadvantaged citizens regarding transboundary water resources and environmental contamination issues. Ms. Moreno-Ramirez received a B.S. in Environmental Sciences with a minor in Biology from Northern Arizona University and an M.S. in Watershed Management from the University of Arizona. She was born in Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, and was raised in the Ambos Nogales area. Due to her experience as a border resident, she was motivated to become a scientist and to focus her efforts on environmental disparities. Today she will discuss working with a community partner organization of promotoras to promote comprehensive education and outreach regarding pollution prevention to local small business owners. Take it away, Denise.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for the introduction, and I'd like to thank the organizing committee for inviting me to present. So today, as it was already mentioned, I'm going to talk to you about our pollution prevention project, which targets small businesses. Slide number two. Sorry, I'm in slide number three. So pollution prevention is a topic that I'll be focusing on today. And annually, there's millions of tons of pollution and tens of billions of dollars per year spent on controlling this pollution. In the 1970s, pollution was a major problem in our air and water in the United States. We had to develop standard and enforce these laws. There was more of an end of pipe solution. This had some positive effects. Yet in the 1980s, we developed better methods to detect pollution, and we realized that pollution had no boundaries. Therefore, pollution prevention was adopted as the nation's new approach to preventing these problems. Slide number four. As a result, the EPA defines pollution prevention as reducing or eliminating waste at the source by modifying production processes, providing less toxic substances, also implementing conservation techniques, and reusing materials. Slide number five. In the United States, there is approximately 49,000 deaths per year due to occupational hazards. It is the eighth leading cause of death here. Working conditions in a lot of small businesses have extensive hazardous exposures to chemicals. Some are extensive and some are unique to small businesses. Also, a lot of high-risk small businesses are found in minority communities. In particular, small businesses also tend to employ minorities, such as women and migrant workers. Slide number six. In addition, small businesses also use hazardous substances similar to their larger counterparts, so they have the potential to pollute the environment. Not only this, but health and safety interventions are very few and many times don't target small business workers. In addition, there's also social and cultural barriers that exist. Many times, there is also economic barriers that they cannot access these health and safety interventions. So the big message I want to provide to you today is that if we reduce occupational exposure, then we reduce exposure to communities. Slide number seven. Here I provide some common substances used in small businesses. On the left, you see the industry, and on the right, you see some of the substances. And in red, I've highlighted some of the known carcinogen substances that are used. Slide number eight. So this project began with promotoras. So in other words, it's a promotora-initiated project. These promotoras work for the non-governmental organization, the Sonoran Environmental Research Institute. And as they were providing their daily home visits, they began obtaining information from community members that they were smelling industrial and unusual odors in their neighborhoods. With this, the promotoras began becoming interested in this topic, so then they developed a survey to go out and talk to these residents about these odors. And not only this, but they began documenting where they smelled the odors or where they were smelled by using GPS systems. Not only this, but they started having conversations with community members about potential home businesses as some of the sources of these odors. Slide number nine. So now we'll be talking to you a little bit about the project's aims. Slide number 10. The first aim was to establish a promotora P2 training program, and this training program was not just basic but also included technical training. We also wanted to conduct outreach to the small businesses, and that was accomplished by these visits. We also wanted to provide industry-specific workshops, and we finally wanted to provide a basis for P2 community leaders. Slide number 11. The groups that came together to provide a successful project were the Sonoran Environmental Research Institute, as I have already mentioned, houses the promotoras. We also collaborated with the University of Arizona Atmospheric Sciences, Dr. Betterton, who was the principal investigator. And we also had the Dean Carter Bi-National Center for Environmental Health Sciences, as well as the University of Arizona Superfund Research Program. Slide number 12. The businesses that we decided to target were auto maintenance and repair, auto paint and body, nail salons, beauty and hair salons, printing, woodworking, and dry cleaning. Slide number 13. Now I'm going to talk to you about some of the outcomes that we had on our project. Slide number 14. In order to implement a P2 training program, we went out and did research on what was already existent regarding P2. So we didn't want to reinvent the wheel, but we wanted to leverage on existing programs that had pollution prevention as their objective. So, for example, we discovered that the city of Tucson has a green certification program, so we began collaborating with them in order to provide businesses with this information. And we also had Pima County, which had a hazardous waste disposal service that was potentially accessible to a lot of these small businesses. We then began meeting with industry leaders and associations to discuss some of the best practices that are implemented. So we wanted to find out what people were doing on the ground and potentially some of the technologies that are already of use. We didn't want to give recommendations that potentially were too far-fetched, and we wanted to kind of stay in and provide examples to businesses that were thinking of attempting these best practices. So we didn't want to have provide information on a technology that maybe wasn't of use in the industry. Slide number 15. With this, we were then able to begin developing a whole training program for the promotoras. And here are some of the training themes, which included environmental exposure, green printing, and water conservation, just to name a few. We had a total of 15 trainings, and we trained 15 SETI promotoras. So the University of Arizona was not the only organization involved in the training. We also had collaborators, which included Tucson Water, Tucson Fire Department, Arizona Lithographers, and Pima County. Slide number 16. After the promotoras went through the P2 training, we were now ready to go out and provide the small business visits. We had a total of 682 initial small businesses visits. And this is basically we went out and started meeting the small businesses out there and providing information. And then we had an additional 382 follow-up visits and 105 follow-up phone calls. So this was just to get information of how it was going after they received the information. Slide number 17. So as I mentioned, we provided information. We distributed P2 packets, and these P2 packets were tailored for a specific industry. They contain suggestions on how to reduce waste. They also contain information of assistance services that were already in existence, such as the City of Tucson Green Business Certification. Not only that, but when we were out there doing the small businesses, a survey was developed that we could then go out and find out what these small businesses thought about pollution prevention. So we were able to assess their interest in pollution prevention, identify any knowledge gaps that were out there, and also assess any current practices that were implemented prior to our visit, and then evaluate best practices that were implemented after our visits. We also had the opportunity to collaborate with the College of Public Health. We had a master's student, Alicia Waltz, who went into the small businesses and took samples for 1 hour regarding volatile organic compound levels. She is currently finalizing the outreach material and will be going out and providing this to the businesses that she visited. Slide number 18. Through the surveys that I mentioned, we found that a total of 84 nail salons reported that they switched to non-acetone remover. We calculated this to be approximately 36,000 pounds per year reduced. We also had 238 auto repair shops reported that they just simply covered their degreasing canisters, and this is a quick and simple best practice that can be implemented. And we calculated this to be approximately 24,000 pounds per year reduced. We also had 11 hair salons report to us that they switched to ammonia-free hair dye. Slide number 19. At the same time, the survey also demonstrated to us the preferred incentives that a lot of these small businesses would like in order for them to further or in place P2 measures. The number one was grants for equipment. The number two was a green certification sticker or program for their business. And the third one was reduction in business insurance. And these results were not surprising, since a lot of these small businesses are struggling merely to survive, and many times pollution prevention is not at the top of their list. Slide number 20. After we did some of the home businesses visits, we started also seeing what types of workshops we potentially could develop. So we, the University of Arizona, were able to organize two of the major workshops, and they included a printing workshop and a hair and beauty salon workshop. We also had other workshops that were developed by SETI, which included auto body shop and dry cleaning. So we had a total of 11 specialized workshops and mini workshops. So the mini workshops are most all targeting home-based businesses, and they're mini because they took place at a home, and we collaborated with one of the owners of the home-based businesses. And she had kind of a cafe setting that was organized with a promotora. And then other home-based business owners came to this coffee setting, and they were able to kind of talk very informally about pollution prevention and some of the best practices they could implement in their home-based business. And this was very successful because this is an area of industry that's not readily accessed by a lot of the traditional methods. At the same time, at these workshops, we were able to see that there was a fostering of new business partnerships. So, for example, at our hair and beauty salon workshop, the two businesses that shared their experience as being green began a collaboration. One of them was a green beauty school here in Tucson, and the other was a green spa beauty salon here in Tucson. And so now they're collaborating, and a lot of the graduates from the beauty school are now receiving positions at the spa hair salon. And we were also able to provide at these workshops kind of quick and easy best practices that they could just go out, leave the training, and readily and fastly implement into their small business. So they were able to reduce some of the exposures right away. Slide 21. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about our community leader aim. So I'm going to give you an example of five of the businesses that we believe are community leaders as due to our pollution prevention project. The first one is Jorge's Auto Repair. So they're an auto repair shop that's located in southern Tucson that's predominantly Hispanic population. And so when we began going out and providing outreach to the shop, they started reading the information, and then they decided to provide customers with greener options. So, for example, they began providing reusable oil filters for their customers if they opted to purchase them. They were also very helpful in that they tested a lot of the green degreasers that we would receive in order to provide us samples in a lot of our business visits. So we wanted to make sure that a lot of these green products that we used were equivalent to the traditional products that are used. So it was very helpful for us, for Jorge's Auto Repair, to test them and make sure that we weren't providing a sample that was of lesser quality. They also began recycling metal and automotive oil, and they also implemented the use of sawdust to clean up oil spills in their shop. Slide 22. The next example is Extreme Hair Salon, and the owner is the gentleman in the middle. He's actually a mechanical engineer that works for the Raytheon company here in Tucson, which specializes in defense. As a result, because of his knowledge, he was able to design a ventilation system for his hair salon, and now he is able to decrease the amount of emissions that are being breathed in by his customers and his workers. He also began providing less toxic hair options to his customers. And after learning about the chemicals involved in acrylic nail services, he decided to eliminate it entirely from his business. He also was very He was also very active in our P2 program and attended a lot of our trainings. Slide number 23. The next example is McElroy's Automotive. And when he began learning about best practices, he was so enthusiastic that he started making copies of his own packet and distributing it to his friends that were in the same trade. So he started holding his own P2 trainings. Not only this, but he began saving money in order to purchase green part cleaners. So he purchased two equipments, one that was sand and the other one that was vapor. Slide number 24. The next example is one of a home-based business, which is Karina's Home Hair Salon. And she was part of one of the mini trainings that I had mentioned to you earlier. And what she did is she began learning about the different products that are used in this industry, and decided to begin replacing a lot of the products she used on her customers. Not only this, but she started also providing less toxic hair care options to her customers. And when we began talking to her, she stated to us that there was some health issues in her family, and she was wondering if they had to do with some of the practices that she did in her home-based business. And so as a result, she decided to eliminate permanent hair wave services from her business. And afterwards, she started seeing that there was an improvement in her family's health. She was also very enthusiastic and participated in a lot of the P2 business trainings that we had. Slide 25. The last example is CNH Paint and Body. And when we first met them, they were actually spraying the cars straight outside without a spraying booth. So all the fumes were going outside directly into the atmosphere and to neighbors. So after they received the information, they decided to save up money and implement a paint room in order to decrease these fumes. Not only this, they took it one step further, and they implemented a best practice, which was to create a mixing room. So they began organizing the paints and all of their business. And then the last thing that they did is they took a step further and they decided to switch to water-based paint, automotive paint completely. So they eliminated the traditional paint. And we were very excited when we found this out. And we decided to talk to them about the quality of the water-based paint, because we always want to have examples that we can share with other small businesses, and then they can learn from each other. And actually, CNH Paint and Body stated that the water-based paint was better quality than the traditional paint that they were using. So that was very good for us to hear, because then we can refer other businesses that are thinking of doing this, and then they can share their experience on how the quality is and how they did it all. Slide number 26. To conclude, I'd like to first and foremost say that the accomplishments that we have in this project cannot be done without the promotoras. So promotoras go into these small businesses as trusted community members. They approach them as friends and neighbors, and they don't come in as an organization that's there to implement laws. Not only this, but they share the same culture and language, which also helped them be able to befriend them in order to provide this information. And it was then easier for them to implement since they were trusted people in their own neighborhood. As a result, we were able to overcome the barriers that are seen many times in reaching small businesses, because they're not usually accessed. Not only because there's not enough programs that can go out and provide outreach to them, but many times a lot of small businesses are hesitant to participate in such pollution prevention projects. Not only this, but we were able to accomplish some behavioral changes in the small businesses, and these changes range from big, which included, like the example that I mentioned to you, of CNH Paint and Body, that they completely changed their business, to small changes, which just meant that they put the lid onto containers that they had in their business to reduce exposure. Slide number 27. Not only this, but why we started this project was because of our concern that small businesses did not have access to proper disposal of hazardous waste. So this was very important to us. That's why we collaborated with Pima County in order to provide pamphlets of the hazardous waste program for small businesses. So our initial outreach began in 2006. And as you can see from the graph, until 2008, when the project officially began, there's actually an increase in the new registrants that are using the Small Business Waste Acceptance Program. And before I created this presentation, I was not able to get any information for 2010 or 2011, but our Pima County collaborator stated that these numbers keep increasing. So now we gave information to these small businesses about this free program, and now they're able to use it and now dispose of their hazardous products safely. Slide 28. We were also able to provide information that and examples that community members can be effective conduits of pollution prevention education. So if you provide the needed training and the needed information, since community members are passionate about their own neighborhoods and people, they're able to go out there and spread this information themselves. Not only this, but we showed that action-oriented, low-cost, voluntary approaches that are based on trust and dialogue can be successful. So you don't always have to come in and provide somebody with a ticket stating that they're disobeying the law, but if you provide information and give them options, then people are able to make an informed decision and implement projects in their own businesses. not only this, but we're able to decrease exposure by providing this information and doing these different types of implementations. So studies show that hazardous substances exposure in small business contribute to the burden of disease and illness due to chemical exposures. Pollution can be reduced at the source, which is the ultimate goal when it comes to decreasing worker exposure to cancer-causing substances. This ultimately decreases exposures to family and communities. The idea of pollution prevention, which seeks to decrease exposure, alternatives to chemicals, and proactive views on contaminants, is one of the many solutions that are out there to decrease exposures to many minority communities. Slide 29. So this project was not just also SETI, the University of Arizona, but there was a lot of small businesses that came together to provide us help with this project. And here are some of the collaborators that I would like to also thank, such as Tucson Fire Department, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality, Arizona Lithographers, Bolero Woodworking, Pure Aesthetics, The Source Salon and Spa, and Green Pro. I would like to thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you, Denise. And now we will take a few minutes to get to some questions. We'll check in with the phone lines first. If you would like to ask a question, please take your phone off mute by pressing star 7. State your name and organization, and then ask your question. You can remute your phone when you're done by pressing star 6. Do we have any questions from the phone lines? Okay, I'll go to some of the simulcast questions in the meantime. We have a question from Raina Rao with MDB, and she asks, are you going to continue the small business workshops?
Thanks, Raina, for your question. So we're currently trying to find future funding to provide us, a mechanism to provide these workshops. Since this project was very successful, we kind of want to stay on the momentum that we have, and we're currently trying to find funding through either EPA or other mechanisms that we could continue these types of workshops and also the home visits, because we still have a lot of people that come to us and they tell us that they want to receive information or that they want to participate in these trainings. So that's something that we definitely want to continue.
Okay. And Denise, I actually have a question for you. Did you collaborate with any governmental agencies on this project?
Yes, we did. So we collaborated with a lot of local government agencies, for example, Pima County. We also collaborated with ADQ, and we also collaborated with US EPA in that our grant was funded through them, and not only that, but we used a lot of their existing pollution prevention material, which we used in the small business package.
Okay, thank you. We have another question coming in. What metrics will you use to measure the success of the trainings and workshops?
That's a really good question. So we actually had a survey that was implemented at the workshops that we held. So we did that after the workshop in order to get feedback from the participants. We also have a lot of the surveys that we provided. We have a whole section to see what are some of the changes that occurred in the small businesses. So we're able to kind of track what was there already before and then what was implemented after our outreach.
Thanks. Another question that we have coming in from Linda Mariner with ADEQ in Phoenix. She asks, are your P2 packets available on your website for others to use?
We actually do not have them online, but somebody else at a previous conference asked the same question. So that's something that we should look at providing online, because a lot of the people that I have encountered after providing this presentation really want to duplicate this project in their own hometown.
Okay.
our state. And so that's something that we can, in down the road, provide in our website.
In the meantime, would it be possible to provide a list, maybe, of the type of items you included to help someone get started?
Yeah, that's definitely a great idea.
Do we have any questions from the phone line? Again, press star 7 to unmute. Or do we have any more? If you want to type a question in for the simulcast participants, we have plenty of time for questions. All right, well, before we do conclude, I wanted to make sure that everyone is aware of the links page and the online feedback form. On the links page, we've assembled resources directly applicable to today's topic. This will stay with the seminar indefinitely, so you can access it after the presentation, and we typically place these seminars in an archive with the soundtrack. So in the near future, you'll be able to access the slides and hear the presentation as it was given today. Associated with the links page is an online feedback form. Please consider filling this out as we do look at your comments and try to improve the content and delivery mechanisms. Links to the additional resources page and the feedback form can be found on the last slide of the presentation. Do we have any more questions coming in? Okay, well, at this time, if there are no more
questions. Sarah, we do have one more quick question. This came in
via
email. And so the question is, what would you recommend as best practices for others interested in this activity?
To people that want to implement a project similar to this one?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess I would just go out and see, first of all, if what are the needs in the community regarding small businesses, and then you can begin doing kind of a community mapping on what's out there of small businesses, regarding small businesses. And also, if you want to go into the home-based businesses, it would also be important to kind of go out and reach out to these this segment of the industries. So just kind of survey what's out there, and then begin surveying some of the community needs when it comes to these small businesses. And through that, you can create a list of what are some of the industries that you would like to target. And then with that, kind of develop a relationship with experts already in the industries, or maybe governmental agencies that are already providing outreach to them. And then with this, you can all begin working together, and then develop kind of a training program for the staff that's going to go out and provide the outreach component of it. So then they're equipped to answer questions and then provide the needed information in these areas. And then from there, you're going to start meeting people when you're out there in the community doing the visits. So then you'll begin assessing what are the most needed businesses when it comes to information. So then you can start tailoring your workshops to these specific industries. So for example, in our case, we saw that there was a big need with the printing and also the hair and beauty salon industries. So then you can have workshops and start inviting these experts that you've already established collaboration with to develop these trainings, and then kind of provide informal and formal mechanism at these workshops where people are learning about the information, but then you also allow them to speak with others and share experiences, because you'll see that some people are very versed in pollution prevention and they're just interested in kind of learning more. And then there's some people that didn't really know anything and want to learn. So then the businesses can share amongst themselves about experiences. And then through this, you can start documenting kind of some of the successes and changes that are occurring in the small businesses. And then I think that this would be a very good basis to then in turn do another follow-up project after that.
Well, great. If there are no more questions at this time, then I will let you know that you can contact Ms. Moreno Ramirez via email with any additional questions after the seminar. Her email address is on the additional resources page. And I would like to thank Denise today for her time preparing and for sharing her presentation with us. This will conclude today's presentation. Thank you all for your participation. And I'd like to add that if any Superfund research program or EPA personnel are interested in setting up a similar collaborative series in your region, please feel free to contact me for information. Thank you all. Have a great day.